Would you please turn with me to the Psalm number 14? I'm going to read from verse 1 to the last. Psalm number 14. A fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Shall we pray before we listen to the word? Father, we turn to you this evening, Lord. Help us, O God, once again. We need your help. Speak to us, O God. Give us strength. Give us hope. And give us grace to live as your people in this world. Help me, O God, as I seek to expound your word. I need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The context in which this psalm is written is not entirely known. Some say it is written in post-exilic period because of the seventh verse. But many evangelical scholars would argue that the psalmist was referring to in verse 7 more in general terms. Some scholars believe that David was writing this psalm when he ran away from Saul, when the kingdom of Israel filled with corruption on one hand, and on the other hand you see the international threats were kept increasing. And others believe that this psalm was written when David fled away from his own son Absalom. But I personally think that this psalm was written by the King David. I want to split this psalm into 6 points. The first point is, atheism is foolishness in God's sight. And secondly, atheism perpetrates evil and sinfulness in this world. And thirdly, everybody is a born atheist. And fourthly, atheism is ancient. And fifthly, atheism gives green signal to persecute God's people. And sixthly, freedom from atheism by trusting in Jesus Christ. You look at the first verse, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The word fool is used 18 times in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word fool is talking about a person who has become senseless and has lost his religious and moral sensibilities. A person who has rejected a knowledge that has come so naturally to him when he is born. And the Bible uses the word fool in the context when a person is unable to apply his mind and come to right conclusions in spite of having abundant evidence that is available to him. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, when Moses spoke before the gathering of the assembly of Israel, he made mention of the people who, despite of all the miracles they saw, they still rejected God. And that's why he says in verse 6, "Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish, unwise people?" Another example that you would see is in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13, you would see when Amnon was obsessed to molest Tamar, and Tamar tells Amnon, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And where could I take my shame? And as for you, you should be like one of the fools in Israel." Even in this context, Amnon is being driven by his passions rather than by the abundant evidence available to him in the Mosaic law, or for that matter by his own conscience. Wasn't he a fool to do what he did in spite of knowing the consequences of doing such a crime? In Romans chapter 1, Paul says in verse 20 and 21, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What must a boy of 9 years old conclude by looking at stars or the trees, or the beautiful birds, or the mighty oceans, or breathtaking scenery, or the orderliness within creation? Does he have to go to school to unlearn what he learns by sheer observation? Isn't science basic and foundational principle to observe what is around us? When we gather all the information after observing what is around us, what does information point us to? To a randomness? To pointlessness? To meaninglessness? First of all, we have to understand that information itself is coherent, orderly, and intelligent. And it requires an intelligent mind to unpack the intelligent information. So on one hand, you have this intelligent information available to you everywhere. On the other hand, you have a human mind which is intelligent to unpack or uncover the intelligent information. And to say that both the intelligent information and also the intelligent human mind are the products of random accidents is nothing but foolishness. What if a 9-year-old boy who was born and brought up in one of those poor countries where the corruption is rampant, what conclusions must he come to after seeing and experiencing corruption, deceit, dishonesty, victimization, and exploitation himself? Should he say that, well, there is so much corruption in the society and therefore there is no God? Or should he come to the right conclusion by looking at the evil in a society, that there is something inherently wrong with these human beings? He must ask himself why the things the way they are in this world. And also he must be honest to himself to acknowledge his own corruption within his own heart, and to seek a remedy which can be only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to justify atheism, one has to get rid of the meaning of the word and in order to justify meaninglessness. In short, all the creation points to a creator. The Apostle Paul claims that everybody knows God. That's what he says in Romans 1, verse 21. He says, "Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God." as famous French mathematician, physicist, and philosopher Blaise Pascal put it, quote, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in every man which cannot be filled by any created thing but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus," unquote. In order to deny God's existence, one has to deny his own mind and also his own conscience. And this leads to my second point, which is atheism perpetrates evil and sinfulness in this world. If you look at verse 3, it says, "They have all turned aside, they have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one." If you pay attention to these words, it clearly shows that not believing in God results in corruption within a person and also in the society. The original, the word corruption means of a moral corruption or confusion or filthiness. Here the psalmist is speaking about how atheism desensitizes the moral code that is indelibly impressed upon the mind and the heart of a human being. And atheism makes a person morally irresponsible, inept, and bankrupt. In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul explains it is really a downward spiral morally and spiritually once a person rejects God and the truth about God. In Romans chapter 1 verse 21, if you look at it, he says that they rejected God deliberately. In verse 22, he says, professing to be wise, they became fools. In verse 23, he talks about how they started worshipping creation. And when you get to verse 26 and 27, he starts about how humanity started practicing horrible sins like homosexuality. If one looks at a deeper look, practicing what is unthinkable became a norm because people denied God in the first place. Men and women become unusually wicked if they get rid of God. When somebody convinces of themselves that there is no God, there is absolutely no restraint on them whatsoever. Now atheists are saying that the society has to be our standard, and we have to make moral decision depending on the society. They say whatever the society approves, we can approve, and whatever the society disapproves, we will disapprove. But what society are we talking about? Is it Hitler's or Mother Teresa's? Isn't it the reason why that there has to be discussion on whether killing unborn babies is right or wrong, even though it is an obvious fact that it is wrong? When morality becomes a personal thing, as opposed to be an objective thing which is based on the word of God, what should stop anyone when they think killing babies is their favorite pastime? Those who are complaining about corruption in the society must come and have first-hand experience of how poor people would struggle to get a birth certificate in one of those third world countries. And they must see how many people get killed because the doctors would not treat them because they are poor. In many countries in the West, we never had Christian foundations to begin with. That's why corruption is so rampant. But in the West, people want to keep their societies absolutely corruption-free, but we wonder how they can achieve that by keeping God's law at bay. Do we not feel like sinning more when we become absolutely oblivious to the fact that there is no God who is watching us? Let me give you two examples. When David sinned against Bathsheba, he did not think much about a God who was watching from above, did he? Would he have committed what he did if God was physically standing right in front of him? I wouldn't think so. Do we also come to conclusion that times like the atheists, when they say, just because I can't see God, and therefore there is no God? Let me give you example number two. When Joseph was pressurized by Potiphar's wife, you remember what he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Why did he say what he said? It's because he was conscious of God's presence. He knew that God was watching from above. All our private sins are committed when we think that there is no God who is watching over us. All our private sins are committed because we become practically atheists at that moment. And this leads me to my third point, which is everybody is a born atheist. Look at the words of the psalmist is saying here in verse 1, there is none who does good. If you look at the verse 2 and 3, it says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Men and women reject God because they are born in sin. They desire anything but having fellowship with God. And everybody voted against God as their ruler, king and master. Every one of them has turned astray and everybody turned their backs on him. In other words, everybody is a born atheist. In his book, Does God Believe in Atheists? John Blanchard says that all those who do not believe in the God of the Bible are atheists. In other words, no matter what people believe, be it Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam or Taoism or Shintoism, if they do not bow their head and bend their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, they are subscribing to atheism in one way or the other. Men and women reject God not because they have done enough research and come to conclusion that there is no God, but because they do not want a God to whom they are accountable. They do not want to face a judge who is absolutely holy, just, and has every authority to punish sinners forever. This is what Spurgeon says to those who do not believe that God exists. Quote, as denying the existence of fire does not prevent its burning a man who is in it, so doubting the existence of God will not stop the judge of all the earth from destroying the rebel who breaks his laws. Nay, this atheism is a crime which much provokes heaven and will bring down terrible vengeance on the fool who indulges it. Unquote. And here is my fourth point. Atheism is ancient. The historians say that the King David lived around from 907 BC to 837 BC. If he was writing this psalm on atheism between those 70 years, we read the acts of atheism right in the early of creation, just like we heard this morning. Adam and Eve disbelieved God and ate the fruit. It is an act of atheism. And when we read in Genesis chapter 6, just like we read this morning, when God saw from heaven, everybody was sinning and their hearts were continually evil. Something that atheism is a modern concept, and say that in the beginning everybody was so innocent and naive that everybody believed in God. But the Bible says the opposite. All the modern day philosophies like postmodernism, humanism, secularism, naturalism, liberalism have had their roots in a human heart which deeply rejects a holy and loving God. Fifthly, atheism gives green signal to persecute God's people. If you look at verse 4, it says, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat my people as they eat bread?" Again, we remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." The most uneducated believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in the jungles of Africa is far better than the most educated and highly qualified professor who is an atheist. The Pharisees thought that they were the most educated people in the law and the writings of the prophets, but still they rejected and became fools when they rejected the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. My friend, is there anybody here thinks because of your university education, your belief in God is shattering, and you have to then you have become a fool in God's sight? Repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Atheists eat up God's people as they eat up their bread. History is replete with incidents when nations and societies became atheistic in their outlook. Millions and millions were killed, molested, and thrown into prison camps. Similar actions were perpetrated by those who profess themselves to be Christians. But what a reproach it has brought on Christianity. My last point: freedom from atheism by trusting in Jesus Christ. You look at verse 5, there they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. Verse 6, you shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. No matter whatever circumstances we may be in, we ought to look to God, who is not only our refuge, but also our strength. When people are upset because you are sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at your workplace or neighborhood, in your neighborhood, what do you do? We have to look to God. In some other parts of the world, when our brothers and sisters are physically persecuted and killed, what do we say to them? Look to God, because He is the judge. And He is our refuge, and He is our strength, and He is a very present help in trouble. When people ask us, "Where is your God?" when the beheadings taking place, John Piper answers this question in one of his sermons, saying, "One day it will explode on this world from heaven such that all who have rejected him will call for rocks to crush their brain, lest they have to face the wrath of the Lamb." We must know this. When I look at the beheadings and I hear someone ask, "Where is your Supreme Christ?" my answer is really easy. He is in heaven, storing up almighty wrath in fury to pour out on all those who commit such sins. That's where He is. You better get right with Him and repent of your sin, or you will all likewise perish. He says it's not a hard question to answer biblically. Look at verse 7. "Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion." Zion is a place where God dwelt. Here we understand that the psalmist is saying God would come out of His dwelling place to rescue His people. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ left the heavenly Zion to save not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles who would trust in Him? The second person of Trinity, Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, left heaven, lived a life that was pleasing to His Father, did not commit a single sin. He lived absolutely perfect life, and in the end, and showed compassion, amazing compassion to all the people. And in the end, He died on the cross of Calvary to save sinful people. My friend, if you trust in Him tonight, you will be saved from the eternal wrath that is going to come upon all those who would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, will you be encouraged today to fight against all forms of atheism within and without, and keep the banner of the gospel flying?